to start the short series looking at some books of the Bible which are letters that were written to some of the churches. And last year we looked at Ephesians, you remember, was written to a couple of churches in the area around the city of Ephesus. So today I'm going to start a short series all about the letter of Galatians. So it's written by a man called Paul, who wrote Ephesians and Corinthians and Romans and lots of them. And actually at the time of writing these letters, he was in prison. And he was in prison because he could not stop talking about Jesus and what Jesus had done and how Jesus had revealed himself to Paul's life. And he wouldn't stop talking about him. And he really upset the church leaders of the day. The Jewish leaders didn't like Paul going around telling everybody that Jesus was the Messiah, the one that they had all been waiting for. And so they worked with the Roman rulers of the time, and Paul ended up in prison awaiting trial. So this is where he's writing this letter from. So there's a few different verses that I'm going to just talk about. And the first message that Paul gives to the church, to the city of Galatia, is that they cannot earn their salvation. They cannot earn it, and so we cannot earn our right to a place in heaven. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the first chapter of Galatians. Got it from two different Bible translations to help us to have a fuller understanding. It says, "May peace and blessing be yours from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, just as God our Father planned, and rescued us from this evil world in which we live." And the Living Translation says it like this: "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father." And it's that little phrase that Jesus gave himself for us to rescue us from our sins that really want to focus on this morning, because that really jumps out of the page for me, that Jesus gave himself. You know, we know that Jesus is part of who God is. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and they have always lived together in close mm-hmm. relationship, and they share life with one another. And it's almost like I can imagine, this is not in my notes at all, mm-hmm. but it's almost like I can imagine them, God and Jesus, the Son, having a conversation together about the mess that the world was in, and still is in today, that people were not following God's ways, people were not living in good relationship with one another, they weren't caring for each other, they were damaging each other's life, they were damaging the world that God had created for them to live in. And God had given them a set of rules to live by, but they were not able to follow all of those rules. And so they were still not able to have a good relationship with God, because they could not follow all of the rules. It was impossible for human beings. And so God said to Jesus, Jesus, we need to make this happen. I want a relationship with these people that I've created. I love them. That's why I created them, because I love people. That's why I've created them, for a relationship. Will you go? Will you go and pay the price? Would you go and take the punishment for these people? Because I want them to know me. I want them to have a life with me. And that can't happen this way until there's another way. So it's totally off script, but that's okay. So what an amazing statement it is that Jesus gave himself, because Jesus agreed. He didn't have to agree with God the Father. He could have said, let's find another way. Is there not another way? But Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come to earth in order to take the punishment for all the wrong things that we've done. And he was still the Son of God when he came. You know, we've just celebrated Christmas, haven't we? Which is when we celebrate the fact that Jesus did come and was born as a little baby and then grew up and then died on the cross, which we will celebrate Easter very soon. But he willingly sacrificed himself to pay the price, to take the punishment for every wrong thought, every wrong word or action that every person in the whole world has ever done and will ever do. Throughout the whole of time, that's what Jesus died for, to take the punishment, to pay that punishment for us, to rescue us and to save us from separation from God for eternity, and to open the way for us to know God. And the Bible tells us that our sins are taken away only by the Son of God. That's what Paul is saying here, that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us. And our righteousness, which means being made in the right relationship with God, comes only by faith in Jesus. In his death on the cross, that was the punishment for the wrong things that we've done. And then his resurrection back to life. He has fully paid the price for our sin. And it's like when Jesus died on the cross, an exchange happened. And Jesus took all of the sin, all of the wrong things that I've ever done, all the wrong thoughts, words, attitudes, and there's plenty of them. He took all of that onto himself because he was perfect and he didn't have any wrong in him at all. But he took all of that onto himself and he gave us his righteousness. That was the exchange like that. We got his righteousness, the right to have a relationship with God as our Father. And so there's nothing more that needs to be done that to make us acceptable to God and able to have a loving relationship with him. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, our rescue from all of the wrong things in this life, in this world. But only Jesus was good enough to do that, because he alone was perfect. He didn't have any sin in him. There's a verse that in 2 Corinthians it says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. I was writing it down. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." And in the book of Romans, which Paul also wrote, it says, "There is no one righteous, not even one." There is none, not one of us is good enough in ourselves. We need Jesus to come and pay that price for our wrongs. We cannot save ourselves. We can't work it off with good works, because we could never do enough. How could we ever earn the right to go to heaven, to be with a holy God? But that's what I used to think, that I could work it off, that I could be, that I had to be a good person, that I had to try to be a good enough person to deserve God's attention, to deserve his love, and to deserve his acceptance. So, I'm the middle child in our family, and my brother is 3 years older than me, and my sister was born just before I was one. So I wasn't even 1 year old when my sister was born. And so I was still quite a baby, really, myself. And when my sister was born, she was a very poorly baby and was always an unwell child. And she seemed to catch every virus, every sickness, every infection that was going around anywhere, she got it. And if we got it, she got it worse than we did. And it lasted longer for her than it did for me or my brother. And this meant that actually, even as a very young child, I didn't get very much attention from my mum. Obviously, when I was a baby, she was pregnant with my sister, and she would have cared for me and done that. But once my sister was born, and then I was 1 year old 3 weeks later, my strongest memories are just, Michelle, just be quiet. Don't make too much noise. You know, Carol's poorly. I have to look after Carol. She's very poor. Come on, can you just go and play quietly over there? Just be quiet and just sit in the corner. And now I can't, I don't know if I was asked to sit in a corner of the room, but that's what it felt like. It felt like I was always being asked, go and sit over there. Go over there. Be quiet. Play by yourself, because I have to be here looking after your sister. And so my early years formed in me the thought that I wasn't good enough, that I didn't deserve to have my mum's attention. And it wasn't true. And she did love me. She does love me. But as a little child, what that did in me was made me feel like I wasn't accepted, that my sister was more important. Now, my brother was a very typical boy in that he was always outside, having adventures, having lots of accidents. So we were always at the hospital with him, because he was always climbing trees and falling out of them, or climbing on buildings and falling off them, you know, splitting heads, breaking arms, falling off vehicles, getting all the skin taken off his leg. All of that was going on with him. And then Carol was poorly a lot of the time, and so I was just there. And so I thought, in my childish thinking, I need to find a way to get some attention in this family. And I suppose I could have gone two ways. I could have become very, very naughty to get some attention, which is what children do sometimes. But I decided, no, I need to be the good girl. I need to be the one that does it right. Even though I wasn't, actually, I was very secretly naughty.
No.
I was, because I was still a child, I still did wrong things.
You can believe it, I'll tell you. You can believe it. Yeah.
And, but on the surface, I was being the good girl, and I was the one that stayed at home when we got older. My brother and sister had lots and lots of friends. But by that point, I had no self-confidence. I still didn't think I was good enough to be friends with people. I was afraid to enjoy life. I was afraid to go out and have fun. And my sister and brother had lots and lots of friends. They went out and had lots of fun. But I stayed at home because I was the good girl. I was the one who helped mum with the cooking. You know, I learned to cook, learned to bake, which we all enjoy, obviously. Every Saturday I would bake. The whole day with mum, we would bake enough pies and cakes and scones and things to last a whole week. Because I was the good girl, and I was mum's helper. And that was how I kind of felt I was earning my place in the family, if you like, and found a place where I was accepted. But then that transferred to my thinking about God. You know, I grew up in the church, and so in my life, I've always been aware of God being there, and Jesus being, I think I grew up of like thinking Jesus was my friend when I didn't have any other friends. Jesus was my friend. Because my thinking was so wrong that I had no value in myself, I thought nobody else valued me either, and I thought God didn't value me either. And it's taken a long time, you know, I'm 51, and this is still something that I have to change sometimes in my thinking, that I'm not good enough, or, you know, God doesn't accept me or whatever. But as I've got older, and as I've read my Bible, and I've learned to understand more of how God loves me and what God thinks about me, and as I've discovered about Jesus' sacrifice, which means that actually I don't have to earn anything. I can't earn God's love, and I don't have to. It's just there. Mm-hmm. He loves me just because I exist. And I love that. That makes me very excited. And so often if I'm talking to people, I'll often talk about how God loves us, because that to me has become a very, very important part of my life, that God loves me just because I am. And he loves me how I am, in all of the good things and in all of the not very good things. But Jesus, if I was the only person on this earth, Jesus would have died for me, because God wanted me to know him and wanted me to have that relationship with him. So it's taken a long time for me to unlearn some of that wrong thinking that I had as a child. And, you know, I've prayed, I've talked with God about it. I've had wonderful friends and family around me who have helped me value myself and understand that actually there is worth in me because God made me. And it's helped me to accept that I can love myself and that I don't have to try to earn anything to be acceptable to God, but that I'm just loved by God. Because actually when we think about it, it seems a bit crazy to imagine that we, imperfect, selfish, lazy, inconsistent human beings, could ever think we could do enough to earn a place in heaven. It just seems crazy, doesn't it? It just doesn't make any sense at all. But that's what we do. We fall into that trap of thinking, oh, I've got to be good enough. If I do this, if I pray every day, if I'm kind to people, if I'm patient and loving and give away lots of money, maybe I'll be good enough to go to heaven. Maybe, you know, if I help enough people, I'll be good enough and God will accept me in heaven. Or maybe if I stop being angry or being selfish or being bitter or swearing or drinking too much or whatever it is, that's the wrong thing that we think about. If I stop doing those things, maybe then I'll be acceptable to God and I'll go to heaven. I'll be good enough. It's just not true. We will never be good enough in ourselves. And that's why Jesus had to come. There is no way, there's nothing that we can do ourselves to make us acceptable to God. He loves us, but he is holy. He is perfect. So how can we, imperfect, very unholy people, ever be with God in his holiness? Because that would spoil heaven. Heaven is a place where there is perfection. So the only way we could be made perfect in God's eyes is to take Jesus' perfection onto our lives, and he takes all of our imperfection onto him, and that's why he died on the cross for us. And it's only as we put our faith in Jesus, as we believe that what he did makes us loved and accepted by God, as we receive this gift of salvation, that through his death and resurrection, we are made holy in God's eyes. And therefore, we are able to know God today and for eternity. And Galatians 3 says, verse 26 says, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not that we're just people. We're not just ordinary people in God's eyes. We are made his sons and daughters through what Jesus has done on the cross. If we put our faith in that and come to God and say, God, I can't make myself good enough, can't make myself clean enough to be acceptable to you, but thank you, because what Jesus did on the cross, I take on his holiness, his perfection, because he took away all of my sinfulness and imperfection. And it's as simple as that. All we have to do is receive, believe it, thank God for it, and live life in a relationship with God through that. So I'm going to do a little demonstration. Ben's going to help me with this. So is somebody else. I've got two gifts here. They're identical in their content, in their wrapping, more or less. They're the same. They look exactly the same. They are the same gift. Ben, you want one of these, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you think it's something nice inside here, or not?
Yes, I think it's something nice.
I
particularly like them.
Because you know me,
yeah,
and you nice. Trust my nature is that I'm not going to give something horrible, am I, as a gift? I'm going to give something that you're going to enjoy. So because you know me, you can trust that there is something nice in here, and something nice in here. Right, Ben, you want one of these, don't you? Right, all you have to do, without any help from anybody, touch the highest part of the ceiling for me, will you?
That's not the highest part.
That's not the highest part.
That's not the
can't use anything. You can't get any help. You just have to do it yourself.
Go on, then, jump.
Just watch the cup. Oh, he was all done. He was that close. You were almost there, Ben. Good effort. But it's not good enough. I'm sorry. Would you like one of these?
Yeah.
There you go. He didn't deserve it at all because he did not do what I commanded him to do. He didn't follow the rules. The rules of this, of him getting that, was to touch the ceiling, and he didn't do it. Mike didn't have any rules to follow. She just accepted the free gift. Yes. And that is like God's kindness to us. God has given the rules to show us actually that we cannot attain them. We cannot. Ben can't, as tall as he is, he cannot reach that top bit by himself. It's impossible. And that's why Jesus had to come. Because we cannot make ourselves perfect in God's eyes. But all we need to do is receive the free gift of Jesus, sacrificed for us. And we receive the gift of salvation. So, we've got some questions to look at in our groups. And some of them are quite hard.